You're listening to Healthcare Now Radio. Stand by for This Just In, the latest in healthcare innovation and technology trends with your HIT advisor, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these half-hour segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X network as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, though, my 71st episode, we're going to speak to a group of industry colleagues from the Mobile Health Consortium, and we're going to have a special show, a one-hour show today. So everybody buckle in. We're about to have a lot of fun. This is a great, great group. So my first guest I'm going to welcome here is Ben Wilson, Senior Director of Healthcare Strategy for Citrix. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, Justin. Thanks for having us. This is really exciting.
You got it, my friend. So tell us a little bit about Citrix and healthcare and your foray there.
Well, Citrix is a huge part of healthcare. Most hospitals in the U.S. and many globally use Citrix as a way to deliver applications and data securely to their users, but we're a bit in the background. Yeah. And so I've joined the team, and there are many like me that have joined the team to put together more of a strategy and to have a more proactive approach to healthcare so we really understand how our products can deliver more value to our customers.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. And you and I have a long track record together in history, and yeah. We formed the Accountable Care Community of Practice together, and actually one of our other follow-up guests here also was part of that consortium as well. But turning now to Bob Pettit, a Global Healthcare Business Lead for Mobility and Intel Health and Life Sciences. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks for having me, and looking forward to the conversation with you and my colleagues here.
You got it, my friend. So tell us a little bit about Intel. I mean, obviously, I'm pretty familiar with Intel and healthcare, but tell us about your foray and your strategy there in healthcare.
From a strategy standpoint, Intel's been involved in healthcare for 15-plus years. A lot of research, a lot of technologies used in healthcare. Our view is that the landscape of healthcare requires some transformation. Because of the cost of delivering care, because of the aging population, quality of care, we think there's an opportunity to drive some new care delivery models, mm-hmm. leveraging technology where it's appropriate to improve the quality and the cost of delivering that care.
That's fantastic, yeah. And Intel certainly has a deep history. Even with my background at Greenway, you guys were great partners. And at that time, I was working with Ben Wilson. Mm-hmm. At the time, he was with Intel very strategically in navigating the future of healthcare and working on a lot of those new models, even bringing some of those accountable care blueprints to market. So it was a great time, and Intel's a very strategic player there. So thank you, Bob. Gareth Hall, Director, Industry Solutions Worldwide Health for Microsoft. Welcome, Gareth.
Hey, Justin.
And obviously, you guys have a lot of touch points also in healthcare. But for my audience, please let us know some of your thoughts there.
We do. And I think I'm trying to not just repeat what the other guys have said. But if you think about Microsoft, we're a kind of platform company that sits behind stuff. The interesting thing is, though, we've got these three bold ambitions as a company that are company-wide but actually are incredibly relevant in healthcare around how do you make computing more personal and which physician doesn't want a more personal experience, about reinventing productivity. And I think we can all honestly say that productivity in health is not quite where it should be. Right. And then building an intelligent cloud. So every healthcare customer we're talking to, whether they're going now or going in the future, certainly wants to talk about cloud. So we spend a lot of our time trying to make those company strategies relevant in healthcare, and actually they fit really nicely.
Yeah, no, excellent point. And you also, I worked very closely with Microsoft through my years at Greenway. Yep. You guys are great partners, and you specifically worked very closely on our mobility and bringing our Prime Mobile solution to market.
And we're seeing it being used by huge numbers of customers. It's great.
That's awesome. So thank you for your partnership there for sure. And Juan Ortiz, Senior Marketing Manager for Dell Healthcare and Life Sciences. Welcome, Juan.
Thank you, Justin. How are you?
Fantastic. And you guys are obviously intricate in healthcare, and I still, a large platform for us that we used at Greenway. But tell us about your healthcare offering from Dell.
So in addition to what you've already heard, I think Dell brings to the forefront in healthcare the back end and the front end. So we're able to create comprehensive solutions that include the back end infrastructure that is required to make healthcare more productive, to make workflows more agile, and to focus on the patient. And then we also have the technologies that solve for those needs of the front-end workers, so the doctor, the nurse, the practitioners, and the patients as they go through their needs from a healthcare perspective. So I think we have that comprehensive view of what healthcare could be and should be. And we call that the future-ready healthcare, right? So where is it that we want to be? There are many challenges that we've talked about, but the beauty of it is, okay, with those challenges in mind, how can technology overcome those challenges and takes us to that future that we all personally need?
No, that's fantastic. And thank you, Juan. And thank you, everybody, for being here today and joining us in studio here in Atlanta. You all flew in for this.
Yep.
Yeah, so, big deal.
That's very cool.
This is important stuff.
So. Yeah, no, thank you. I don't think I've ever had five guests fly in for a show before, so or four guests. So thank you very much, guys. So with that, why don't we transition over? I mean, I know, Ben, you and I have been talking about the Mobile mm-hmm. Health Consortium for a little over a year now, mm-hmm. But it's brought to fruition now. So tell us a little bit about it, and certainly for my audience, what is the Mobile Health Consortium?
So some things are the same as when we started it. We're still a group of like-minded technology companies that want to be thought leaders and a trusted resource around mobile health. And we want to improve clinical workflows and patient care and efficiency in healthcare. We believe that mobile health is a great platform to do that. And so we're collaborating in order to do that in a way that, you know, we can't do separately.
Yeah.
And part of that is education. Part of that is bringing resources. Some of that is being a thought leader. Some of that is just getting the word out about different resources that we have individually available. Some of that is about identifying new things in the future that we don't know about right now. So we're very excited to have these four companies together that are big companies in the industry that have a lot of experience in healthcare mobility and collaborating to make things happen going forward.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I know that the strength of collaboration, obviously, when we did the Accountable Care Community Practice together, it was bringing together, I don't know if it was 12 or 13 global brands, but you can advance a lot more as a team, and it was a large lift. And the same thing here in mobile health, but when we're doing accountable care at the time, it's a large lift. But when mm-hmm. you have 12 broad shoulders or 13 broad shoulders, even in this case, 4 to 5 broad shoulders, mm-hmm. you can really accomplish your goals much more quickly.
Juan and Bob and Gareth and I, we do similar things at each of our companies, mm-hmm. and just the information sharing, the best practices sharing that we do amongst each other is really helpful, let alone what we're sharing with our customers and other stakeholders.
Very good point. So, Gareth, tell me about some of the plans for 2016 and 2017 for the Mobile Health Consortium. What are you guys looking at?
So I think if you think about what Ben's just talked about, which is sharing and education and learning and best practices, we're going to spend the next year making that stuff real. So as Ben said, we all spend our lives day in, day out talking about this stuff, but it's very much a specific company view. The skill here is how do we do a webinar, for example, or a couple of webinars over the next few months before HIMSS, mm-hmm. where we can get some industry experts as well as ourselves to tell some real stories around where things have worked, where things haven't worked, because I think we all know that failure is a really important part of learning from your mistakes.
Sure is.
And so we want to deliver some webinars. We want to make sure there is a really easy to navigate website where people can find information, because again, we all work for big, complicated companies. We should be honest, finding things in our sites and our web presence and with our organizations is not necessarily that easy. We would like to make Mobile Health Consortium kind of the single point where you can find that stuff relatively easily surfaced, relatively very focused. We're not going to go off and do different things. If you want to know about mobile health, there will be a huge amount of information there, dead easy to find. And I think that's finding it is really hard.
Yeah.
We kind of know that, and this
point.
Is a good vehicle for trying to drive that. So we're going to do some webinars. We're going to have a website that will provide you with some information. We will also we're starting to get some interesting requests around speaker requests, for example. So how do you get people who are at least semi-knowledgeable in the industry to come and tell some best practices, some learning? So we're going to start to ramp that up as well.
That's fantastic. So, and I think this is also on the table, and this is one of the reasons we're doing the show also is for HIMSS wrap up show from the mm-hmm. 2016. So we're going to cover a lot of what we saw at the annual conference, and then obviously forward looking towards even HIMSS 17. But Bob, how do you and how does Intel see the involvement here? And why are you guys involved, and why do you think it's so important, I guess?
There's a pretty well understood challenge in healthcare, which is that they're not rapid adopters of IT technology to solve problems that a lot of the other vertical industries have already addressed. And so there's a lack of knowledge and understanding about the technologies and how to use them effectively to solve problems. So to Gareth's point, part of what we aim to do is bring to light some examples of how our technology solutions enabling new services or streamlining of workflows or new business models. And part of that includes Microsoft and Dell and Citrix and Intel technology, but it also includes solution providers, people who are actually building the solutions and deploying them. Because most of what our customers ask for is, don't give me a technology or a bag of parts. Give me an example of a solution that somebody else successfully deployed and show me the results of what came out of that deployment. So that's our focus as a company at Intel. We think that healthcare needs to be personal. Today, there's a lot of barriers between a patient and their data. Yeah. There's barriers between the patient and their provider in terms of access.
Yep, for sure.
And so we think we can address that in three key ways. One is around personalized medicine, genomic medicine. Our goal is to get to the ability of sequenced genome and protocol care delivery defined all in one day by 2020. So personalized medicine, big focus area, a lot of data analytics, a lot of computing involved. We also think that health IT and the infrastructure to run the hospitals is still a key area where we can add tremendous value in streamlining workflows, digitizing workflows. There's still pencil and paper out there today. And so we've seen a lot of success in enabling people to leverage some key technologies, especially mobile technologies, to streamline, speed up the experience, not only for the providers, but for the patients as well, and get the patient connected.
Right.
This notion of patient engagement is really taking hold in our market and our customer base. And mobile technologies are key to enabling that kind of engagement with the patient. The more involved the patient is, the better the outcomes. So devices, wearables, distributed healthcare are all key areas for us in enabling and working with our partners in the industry. And then consumer health. There's an explosion of devices, of wearables that consumers can go out and buy and track their fitness, their health. And that data is going to become part of their electronic record one way or another over time and as policies change. And so that's a critical piece of the data that we want to enable as well.
That's fantastic. So, Juan, tell us about Dell. Why is Dell involved in the Mobile Health Consortium?
I think there are a few reasons why we're involved. First of all, we believe, as the consortium does, that having a thought leadership position in the market is essential. And we believe it's essential because of a few reasons, one of which is there are many players in this market today doing different things, some really successful at doing what they do, some not as successful. But it's very complex for the providers of healthcare to understand what success means. What does a mobile healthcare solution really actually mean? To the point that I know we're going to talk about that later, but you know, defining what mobile health is hard.
Yeah.
Right? So we think that by participating in a consortium like this one, we can raise our voice louder as a group than as individuals. So I think that's one of the things that is important for us. Another thing that is important for us is that through sharing and through sharing with other companies that are successful, we also learn. And it's something that we currently do and love to do. We want to hear from our partners. We hear from our customers what they're looking for, what they need, and we integrate that into the development of our own solutions. So the more we can get information from others, And of course, others that are very deeply rooted into the industry, the better we are.
No, that's fantastic. And I think you bring up a good point, Juan. I mean, there's going to be a point where it's no longer mobile or mobile health. It's just healthcare, you know, and healthcare is all going mobile. So, I mean, and that one of the reasons why we're here in the consortium was created. So, Gareth, what are the main reasons Microsoft is involved in this mobile health consortium?
I think there's a corporate kind of conversation we could have there, but I think there's also a personal conversation that if you meet anyone from the Microsoft healthcare team, in fact, virtually anyone from any corporate healthcare team, there's a passion that says, we want to drive company profits and all those sort of good things, but we actually want to make healthcare better. We want to help. And I think we have some unique insights as Microsoft. We, as a consortium, have more unique insights that are even more powerful when they're joined together. And then when you add that combined to the customers we work with and the other partners and the solution providers and the people that build clinical software, that starts to become really powerful. And I think there's obvious commercial stuff. Mm-hmm. I probably don't even need to talk about that. But I think this real focus and drive on how do we, for everybody's benefit, including our own, make healthcare more mobile, more powerful, more connected, more consumer-friendly. Yeah. There's real passion, and when I speak to my boss, when I speak to any of our colleagues, it's really interesting. They are genuinely excited about how you make healthcare more mobile and more secure and more productive, and I think this is just a really good example of how do we stop being quite so internally focused, and how do we work with other people who are critical in the industry to try and drive that both for us, for our corporate, and for our parents and our kids and all those people that actually matter in healthcare.
Yeah, you bring up some great points, and just around everything you brought up, all the tenets that you brought up are critical for us as Americans, for our American healthcare system, but also our global healthcare system.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I used to work for the NHS in the UK, so the National Health Service.
Yeah.
And again, it's held together by a bunch of people who are massively passionate about delivering a service for patients. Yeah. I think we all have the same sort of desires and passions, and we want to try and make that as good as we can for everybody.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why the Mobile Health Consortium was created, or I know it was, because also that's what we had back at the Accountable Care Community of Practice. We had a lot of passionate people, smart people, but sharing, collaborating, sharing education, and just educating each other, and making sure that as a group, we almost knew everything that was happening, because I didn't personally, but between all the other people on the board and everybody else, we could find it all out. And if we didn't know something, we could go find it out and learn. And so the educational component was so critical, because at the end of the day, it was you know, making healthcare more efficient, more sustainable, and just creating a better healthcare system here in America, but also globally.
Yeah.
So I completely agree. So, Ben, why is Citrix involved in the Mobile Health Consortium?
Well, just like my colleagues here, I represent a company that's an infrastructure play in healthcare. And so we're part of a large stack of applications and solutions that healthcare providers use. And so, you know, we're never working independently. We're actually working with the whole ecosystem in order to deliver value for customers. And so this is another way of doing that in a more efficient way. And if we can help our customers to be more successful, it is good for our company. So from a personal sort of corporate point of view, you know, we're involved because we think that if we raise all boats, that will be good for Citrix. There'll be that our customers will be happier with the technology they have, and they will adopt more of it. Yep. And that will be good for us from a shareholder perspective. But, to Gareth's point, you know, we're all in – this is sort of extracurricular work in a sense. You know, this isn't exactly our day job. Yeah. And so we're involved with this because we want to have a larger impact. And we think that we can do that if we, you know, bring large companies like this together and bring visibility to what we're doing and bring visibility to the best practices that we see out there in the market. And, you know, and it does bring more credibility to us when we speak as one voice, as a group. And it doesn't seem as though we're selling something. And, you know, in this case, we're not. Mm-hmm. We're trying to sell the concept of mobility. We're not trying to sell our individual solutions.
Yeah, trying to move an industry forward, because we have to go that direction. Right. So, yeah.
And it's always taken that. It's taken industry bodies. It's taken standards. It's taken those types of actions, especially in a highly regulated environment like healthcare. And especially when we're trying to have a global impact, not just an impact in the U.S. So we think this is a great forum to do that. And then, the networking opportunities for us are great, and the visibility. So it's all good.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Thank you, Ben. So Juan, how do you define mobile health? And again, I'm going to kind of go around the horn a little bit just to get some unique perspectives here. But what are some of your thoughts there? How do you define mobile health?
Justin, it's a great question because it is not an easy answer.
Yeah.
I think mobile health is seen by different people in different ways. I think there is some components that are essential when you talk about mobile health. But the important part of it is what is it that you want to do with mobile health? To your point, I agree, mobile health should become health, mm-hmm. period, in the near future. The thing is that we're still trying to understand some of the business processes, yeah. some of the technologies that are involved, what works, what doesn't work. So we need to identify it specifically with a name. And we're calling it mobile health, right? The beauty of calling it one way in this moment of time is that we can actually create some understanding and commonality between the providers and between those who, you know, help get closer to that patient that we are all very concerned of. So I think if you ask that question from the point of view of the patient, then it becomes really interesting because the patient is looking for very specific things, right? The patient is looking for access, is looking for better understanding, is looking to share their own personal, you know, what's happening in their health. They want to have access to the doctors and the specialists, mm-hmm. and they want to do it where they are, when they need it, not wherever else they're telling them to do it. So I think mobile health is enabling that conversation from a patient perspective to happen. And it touches on different points, right? So it is that communication between the patient and the provider or the clinician. It's also the opening the door of better communication between clinicians, because today one patient is treated not just by one doctor or one nurse. It's actually a community of people that have to interact to treat one patient. So if we, with technology, can enable better communication, mm-hmm. better interoperability, which is another very interesting word to talk about, then we're helping that, you know, patient to accomplish their objectives, which is, I need to feel better. I want to be feeling better, not later on the month,
right, yeah.
now, right? So how can we make that happen? How can we make that happen with a streamlined communication that is close to where that patient needs it? I think that's a good way to identify why mobile health is required today. But I think it is something that we as a consortium will be working a lot in, right? Trying to identify those key aspects and defining better what mobile health means.
Okay. No, that's excellent. So, Gareth, anything you would add on to that? This is very comprehensive, but anything you would add on to that?
I think one of the phrases I heard that's really nice is this isn't about mobile devices. This is about mobile clinicians and mobile patients.
Yeah.
And I think mobile health, we should forget the technology bit. It's really important enabler, but we should always think about what's the clinician requirement, what's the patient requirement. There's the phrase you've probably heard that healthcare has more pilots than British Airways. we hear that a lot. There's a real challenge in getting, particularly in the world of mobile, mm-hmm. out of this kind of pilot use case. And we're just going to try something in IT. We're just going to try something with our friendly physician who likes lots. It's not about the technology. We will help with all that stuff, but let's get the right use case. Let's tell stories and success stories of customers that have worked with that difficult clinician who doesn't like technology for good reasons to turn that over. And I think getting mobile people to be mobile, physicians and patients to be, and nurses to be mobile, and then helping technology help them is kind of where we see it. But it's complicated. And I would love in a couple of years to just be the health consortium. That would be fabulous.
That's excellent.
Exactly.
Ben, what would you add to that?
Yeah, exactly. My goal is that we have remove mobile from mobile health technology. Yeah. Because, as Gareth mentioned, everybody in healthcare is mobile. Yeah. And so we should be giving them a technology to enable to them to do their job the best they can. Healthcare is mostly about making decisions and having the information to make the best decision. Very little of it is a surgeon with a scalpel. Most of it is I get information and I make a decision and I prescribe some sort of therapy, and they need tools in order to do that better. And so wherever they might be, whether they're in their office or the clinic or the hospital or in their car, they need something to help them to make a decision, because they are not on duty just 8 hours a day. They're on duty all the time. And so they need to have access to that information so they can make those decisions and deliver value to those patients 24/7. And also it needs to help them to improve their workflow. You know, I think that's the toughest thing in technology right now. How do we include technology in the workflow and improve it at the same time, which can be very, very challenging. And then also, as healthcare is moving to more of a value-based system, then the technology and mobile technology becomes more important, because we're turning the model on its head. You know, we're going from a fee-for-service system to where you have to keep patients healthy, and so you have to be more proactive. And so the patients have to have data too, and they have to be part of the team, and they have to have Fitbits, and they have to have all kinds of devices to help them to keep healthy, and that's part of mobile health as well. And so, and that information has to connect to the mobile device that the physician has. So, so there's a lot of hard work to be done to get to that point in terms of interoperability and systems working together. So, so that's how I think of it, and think about the work we have to do as a consortium.
That's excellent. So we're going to close out this first segment here in a moment, but in 35 seconds or 40 seconds, Bob, what would you add on to that?
I would agree with everything my colleagues have talked about. I think two key things that I want to kind of emphasize here. One is that what we're talking about is changing the way care is delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a disruptive factor.
It sure
for
is.
A lot of reasons.
It sure
and so what we're talking about is delivering care in ways that have not been done previously. And so there's not an existing knowledge base. And that's part of what this consortium is trying to do. Let's bring together some best practices and share with the community what's working to deliver care in a new way. The other key aspect, and this is always present in every one of our minds, is you need to be able to get data anytime, anywhere, but you have to be able to do it securely. And that is a huge underlying focus for all of the companies that are sitting at the table here. How do we enable this access without trading off security? And so those are areas where we're all focused as well.
So actually, I'm sort of diving a little bit of that in our second half. So I appreciate everybody staying with us. We're going to do a quick station break. But when you come back, we're going to talk about consumerism and how customers how and why customers care about mobile health, and then also a little bit of recap from HIMSS 16 and what to look forward to over the next year with HIMSS 17. So please join us here in a few minutes. Quick station break. Thanks, everyone.
Hi, I'm Greg Fulton, Strategic Content Lead and Government Affairs Director at Wellcentive, and you're lucky you're listening to Healthcare Now Radio.
Treatment, payment, and healthcare operations. Your medical information is private, and you have rights over it. The rights are provided by a law called HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. You have the right to ask your doctor not to share your health information. But there are times when your doctor may need to share your information for treatment, payment, and healthcare operations. What does that mean for you? For example, your primary care physician may send your medical record to a specialist who needs the information to treat you. Those same doctors may also share your information with your insurance company to get paid for the treatment they gave you. So that all patients receive the best care possible, a hospital may use the health information of its patients to evaluate the performance of doctors who work at that hospital. Know your rights. To learn more about how your information can be shared, visit the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights at hhs.gov/OCR.
Thank you very much, everybody, and welcome back to This Just In radio show. I've got a studio full here, my colleagues and the founders of the Mobile Health Consortium. So, again, welcome back to my team here.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Good to be here.
And so we have Bob Pettit from Intel. We have Gareth Hall from Microsoft. We have Juan Ortiz from Dell. And we have Ben Wilson from Citrix.
Hello.
And these are all the founders from the Mobile Health Consortium. And we are on our second half of our show. We did a quick station break. And now we're going to come back. with some real provocative thoughts, I think. We talked about that at the break here, but no. just kidding. But I do want...
My mother's listening. So.
Exactly, yes. One thing that kind of came up in the end of our last discussion, and I want to bring it up, I save it for the first half of here, is why should customers, not just the customers of your companies, but better yet, consumers, why should they care about mobile health? So, Gareth, let's start off with you from Microsoft.
I think we all care. When we're patients, we care about it. We care about whether that's us being mobile and having access to our appointments and our schedules. And yes, I know I said schedule, you were wrong. And our information on our device. But we also, I think it's just an expectation. When a new patient, so if you're a 20-year-old and you've had very limited experience with the health system and you walk into a hospital, you expect them to be connected and mobile and professional.
That's very true.
And it's a complete shock when they're not.
Right.
And we as an industry and health as an industry has a responsibility to fix that. And I think we should meet those expectations and we should help people do that.
I completely agree. Ben, what are some of your thoughts there? Why should consumers or your customers care about mobile health?
Well, I can give a personal example.
The best.
Yeah. So I recently started this new program, a weight loss program with this physician group, and it was different than my primary care physician, and they were asking me a lot of questions about what tests I'd taken recently, what sort of drugs I was on, and what was the level of dosage, and all these questions, of course, I couldn't answer. But my primary care physician in the medical group, the Palo Alto Medical Foundation, which is one of the first users of Epic, has...
Which medical center is that again?
Palo Alto Medical Foundation.
Palo Alto Medical, yes.
Part of Sutter.
Been there, yeah.
Yeah. And they're one of the early users of Epic and my chart. Yeah. And so I was able to bring up my chart on my phone and bring up all my lab results, all the drugs that I'm on, and talk to my physician about, you know, what's been going on with my health and, you know, what my weight was at this time and what it is now, and just be able to answer all the questions so that I could have a more educated discussion with my physician. And then as a result of the program, I've been tracking my exercise and so forth. And I have a Fitbit, which I'm wearing right now. And I track that on my iPhone, and I can look at how many steps I take every day, and I can send that information to my physician, and I can send them my scale is a Bluetooth scale at home, so that connects through the cloud to my Fitbit application, and so all my information is in one place where I can sort of track my health and see how I'm doing. And for me, that's really motivating to look at that app every day and see that I'm doing better and that I've met my goals. And then also on my app, I compete with some friends about, you know, how much we're walking and so forth. And when my friend has 80,000 steps and I have 65, I just don't feel as good as I do when I beat him. And so it's very motivating, and empowering, and helps me to have a solid discussion with my clinician. So, from my personal experience, I think it's great.
Yep. So, Bob, in your perspective, in your personal opinion even, why should consumers care about mobile health?
One of the primary reasons when you look at healthcare is, as a consumer of healthcare, we're paying for more and more of the cost of that care on an ongoing basis.
Very true.
That trend is definitely going up. So as a consumer, just like any other thing that you're going to buy as a consumer, I want to have a say in what I'm getting, what's the quality of the service I'm going to get, where do I get that service. I want a choice. So this whole notion of mobile health care, it's just following the trends that the consumer's already comfortable with, to Gareth's point. You know, there are lots of consumer applications out there that they're using today, and when they go to the hospital, they expect the same kind of thing. In fact, they'd rather not go to that hospital.
Exactly.
They'd rather have health care delivered to them.
That's right.
And so as a consumer, I want that choice, and I want to be able to shop. Yeah. For, you know, what are the services? What's it going to cost? So that's a critical motivating factor for me personally, and I think for a lot of people,
I agree,
especially as they pay more for their care.
So true. Thank you, Bob. So Juan, what are some of your thoughts there around mobile health and why consumers should be interested in it?
Well, I think care teams should be very interested in it, because care teams, as we were talking before, are now just one doctor to one patient ratio. It is becoming a group of people have to have very specific knowledge in very, very deep and complicated aspects of health trying to help one individual. So it's backwards, right? It's both ways. Sorry, not backwards, but mm-hmm. both ways. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, information for the patient that we've talked about, which is fantastic. It's also information for the clinicians to share best practices to understand holistically this individual that they're trying to help.
No, that's fantastic. So let's transition now over to what we saw at HIMSS 16. We all were there out in Las Vegas. Great, great conference. HIMSS does a fantastic job. We're going to broadcast again from HIMSS 17 in Orlando, so very excited about that. But let's talk about what you guys saw. So it took place about 6 weeks ago or so. And Ben, start off with you. What did you see out there that was exciting and innovative?
Well, I think it was the largest show that we've ever seen.
It was.
And
it is.
So it's getting to the point where 40,000, Las Vegas yeah. and Orlando are really the only cities that can house mm-hmm. the conference. So in some ways, it's a bit overwhelming because the show floor is impossible to walk as a single person while you're there. The 4 days a year, you cannot cover the whole floor.
Well, try knowing 1,000 people as well. So you yes. walk down the hallway, and you're like, I got to get there. But
exactly.
you know, it's madness, but it's wonderful.
There's a yeah. lot of like pointing at people as you walk down
exactly.
the hall and saying,
hey.
Love you, babe.
It's right.
And
so true.
But I think there's so much vibrance in this industry right now with all the yeah. Government funding that's going into it and just the focus and the awareness around technology and healthcare. So there's a lot of excitement, a lot more companies, you know, startup companies jumping yep. in. There was a whole basement full of smaller companies that are building healthcare IT technologies. But if I were to pick out a theme, I think population health yeah. Last year and this year are sort of the main themes. And there's a lot of companies that used to position themselves as an EMR company that are now saying they're a population health company
yeah.
or consulting companies saying they're a population health company. And I think rightly so with the advent of ACOs and so forth. So I think that's where a lot of the focus is.
Cool. Gareth, what are some of your thoughts from HIMSS 16 in Las Vegas?
Apart from the scale, which is frankly...
I think technically it's 43,000 yeah. people there this year.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I always describe it as 43,000 of my closest friends.
Exactly.
And that's true for you.
exactly.
I think the thing that... I think this is both a good and a bad thing. If you think about what HIMSS was 4 years ago, everybody was saying they're the mobile health company. They all had devices and shiny giveaways and toys and things that because everything was about apps and explore. Mm-hmm. That's not there anymore. And I think that's a good and a bad thing. I think it means it's gone mainstream.
Yeah.
But it also means there's a slight drop in the focus as people have found it's actually quite hard. The reason we are together is because this is a hard thing to solve. If this was easy, health would be mobile and would have been for 20 years. Yeah. And I think there's a real impetus and a responsibility for us to help the industry realize that it is, whilst it is hard, it is solvable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think starting to see at HIMSS real uses of real solutions that actually helps clinicians and patients be more mobile was the coolest thing. And we saw in the startup area, there was some interesting guys doing that. But then there were some really interesting real customers on kind of the big guys' booths as well, telling their stories around successes. We saw some on the Microsoft stand, but there was... Yeah, they were. I think the difference this year is that they were real.
Mm-hmm.
They were proper stories.
Agreed.
From real customers
yeah.
actually delivering clinical improvements through mobile technologies. That's just great. It's really good to see.
Yeah, and actually, I agree with you completely. That was one of my biggest takeaways was you're seeing real actionable intelligence.
Yeah.
It's not strategic planning. And we're not talking about what's going to happen. Yeah. We're seeing real actionable intelligence, real case studies.
Yeah, and not about pilots.
That's right. Large scale
deployment with real numbers of clinicians, real number of patients, and measurable impact.
Very true.
Bring it on. Yeah, more of that.
No, I love it. That's right. Juan, what are some of your insights from 2016?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the energy was fantastic.
Yep.
It was very interesting for us to see an incredible amount of new companies coming into the conversation. I think that will bring a lot of new technologies, mm-hmm. new ideas that will flourish. Some of them won't.
Right.
But it will also generate what we always see in other industries, mergers and acquisitions. So that's a place to be looking after. I think that's what we're going to see in Orlando in the next HIMSS, where we're going to see maybe some of those companies that were there this year not there anymore, but under another organization. So that's exciting. That's exciting for innovation.
Yeah, that's actually one of my next ventures that'll be launched here coming very soon, as we're buying two of those companies that you saw and rolling them up into one. So I couldn't agree more. Bob, what are some of your thoughts for 2016 from HIMSS?
I thought it was very interesting to see how policy has started to affect solution development and deployment. Two great examples that I can think of right off the top of my head. One is this notion of telemedicine.
Mm.
We've been talking about telemedicine for a long time.
20-plus years at least.
Easily. Yeah. And everybody wants it, and everybody thinks it's great, but it never seemed to actually happen.
Right.
I saw a number of solution providers on the floor talking about what they're actually doing today. Policy changes are allowing for reimbursement. So now those services can be deployed and they can get reimbursed, and it becomes a real opportunity for businesses. And that's where we saw a lot of the small companies and the big companies demonstrating their capabilities. Similarly, on patient engagement, I talked earlier about how the patients are consumers. Well, that's not lost on the providers. It's not lost on CMS, because reimbursement in part is based on what's the patient satisfaction. You know, how did it go in the hospital? Did you enjoy your stay? And that's not lost on our providers, and they're now competing for those patients/consumers. And so patient engagement is a key metric for the providers, and it's driving new business models. We're seeing new solutions get deployed before you go to the hospital,
yes,
while you're in the hospital, and after you go home. And that didn't exist 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, this is really a nascent market. So fascinating, tons of energy and interest around that. And those are areas that Intel and the other companies here are all focused on.
Yeah, actually, in your latter part there, one of the companies that I've been involved with since its beginning, called Gozio Health, I still advise them. They help you actually get to the hospital and then get you home after the hospital.
Right.
And then have to get you around the hospital. So almost everything you just mentioned there.
Exactly.
But ironically, on your first part around telehealth, I just looked at my phone to pull up. It was this morning, and it was a Wells Fargo report came out just this morning on telehealth. It's like talking about how much energy, how much excitement, how much expectation. But yeah, we're still not there yet. Yep. It's just so, to your point, there's more people than ever before are talking about it, are implementing it, more policies around it, state-based, national.
Right.
CMS is implementing it now from head to toe. But still, we're just not there yet. So it's kind of cool, though. We're all embracing it, and we'll get there.
I think there's a whole nother generation or wave that's going to follow this as these get deployed. And everybody's using this buzzword, Internet of Things, IoT, but this notion of sensors, wearables, collecting data in the home or some other environment outside the hospital, we saw a ton of buzz around that as well.
Okay. So talking about specifically the show, one of the questions we talked about and wanted to come across was companies that had a good presence. Like, what did you see out there from an energy standpoint? Obviously, a lot of all your brands are big billion-dollar brands. But, I mean, what did you see out there beyond even some of your own personal brands? What did you guys see out there that you liked? Gareth, what are some of your thoughts there?
Everyone likes a waterfall. It's always nice to see a waterfall on a booth. I think it was really interesting, again, the variation. There were certain parts of the store of the show that were full of energy, and there was loads of people, and it wasn't necessarily a big brand thing.
Right.
There was just, I think they were the right story or they had the right approach, and there was loads of energy in those. And then there were other areas that were much, much, much quieter. And I spent a lot of time walking around just trying to meet people and get a feel for that. And I think it was really interesting. And a lot of that stuff was around innovation. There was excitement and busyness around some of the new stuff that no one in this room had thought about or the industry. This is new to the whole industry. And I think that's really cool. These brands that are in this room, the other big brands in healthcare, they're not leaving healthcare anytime soon.
Right.
So let's help drive that forward. But actually, let's really nurture where those exciting, random, new ideas we're starting to see, particularly in the population, the consumer health space, really interesting new ways of connecting consumer to professional. That's great. Let's start to find more of those things. That was taking off of Hims. Let's grab that and let's promote that through these guys.
That's excellent. Ben, anything from a presence standpoint, anything you saw out there that kind of knocked you around a little bit in excitement?
So one, I just thought there were bigger booths than ever. And that can
very true.
And that's sort of a measure of the industry and how much money is coming in. That's good.
Let me just say, I do have to keep thinking of this, and I always say this in a lot of my shows. There's so much opportunity. There's more money in healthcare than ever before. You got to be focused. We're trying to get it smarter. We're trying to spend our money differently and much more wisely in healthcare, which is fantastic across the board.
Yep.
But there is more opportunity than ever before. So you shouldn't be discouraged. And I think that if you actually walk the HIMSS floor, you see that. You see that opportunity. And everybody's paying more. I think you brought this up earlier, Bob, and I completely agree. We're paying more every day for our healthcare than ever before. Yeah. So we expect a lot more for it. We're going to want to see the innovation, the mobility, and access to care and access to information, and also have more healthcare on more on my side. But also the government's paying more, companies are paying more, and individuals are paying more. So literally every single stakeholder and individual and entity is paying more for healthcare today. So you certainly see that in healthcare. So again, there's a lot of naysayers out there, but I'm the exact opposite. I'm very excited. I see the opportunity and the opportunity to actually maybe save money, not spend less, but invest more wisely in creating better care. But
And I'm an optimist.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
why I do what
that's
I
also
do.
Where we're friends.
Yeah, yeah. And my hope is, you know, there are bigger boosts because there are more buyers buying more mm-hmm. product.
Yeah.
And the reason why they're buying more product is that they see value in these technologies to help them to deliver higher quality, more cost-effective care. And I believe that's true, that electronic medical records and the whole healthcare IT infrastructure are helping providers to do that. And I think the outcomes and the studies have really shown that. And so when I see the mm-hmm. bigger boosts, I think of that as a positive thing, because they feel like they need to invest more money. Whether Citrix had a bigger booth, Microsoft, Intel, and Dell all have bigger and bigger booths. But then if you look at the Cerners and the Epics of the world, they have acres of booths.
Right, it's so true.
and whether that's more effective or not is really hard to say. I want to brag a little bit on the Microsoft booth. I thought the patient experience, I think actually Gareth helped to put that together.
I sat in that. The little booth where you had to speak your mind and all that kind of thing. You'd be recorded?
So that was the opinion piece. And then the other piece was this patient journey bit where we're all big brands, but we're not healthcare brands. So everyone walks up and says, "Hey, so what does Microsoft do in health?
Right.
What does Dell do? Or what does Intel?"
Well, that's why you're here today, too.
Yeah, well, exactly. And actually, what we did this year is we built this patient journey experience, which was 11 of our partners. We didn't mention any Microsoft technology. Yeah. We just got 11 partners who are building real solutions for real customers to tell a real story.
Ah,
and it was really cool. Now, I didn't want to mention it because it's ours.
Yeah,
Thank you for teaming me up, Ben. Yeah. Citrix were amazing.
You didn't pay me to do that, did you?
No, I didn't even plan it either.
You did buy lunch.
Yeah. There you go. That's great.
But Intel had a very good booth, too, in terms of having lots of different partners there and bringing people to the table that you otherwise wouldn't see at HIMSS, which is really an approach that I really like. And then some of the, as I mentioned, the population health companies were there, too. And it looks like they're doing some very interesting things in terms of helping organizations to really change the way they're delivering care to more of a value-based approach. So I thought that was all great. All
right. So, Bob, anything on the present side? Because actually, I'm going to cue everybody up. I do want to ask you first, put your crystal ball hat on. I ask you some questions about the future in a second.
Okay.
Bob.
One of the interesting things that I saw at the show, and I think we're going to see a lot more, is this notion of enabling collaboration. Typically, in the old days, healthcare was a serial event.
Yeah.
You went to your primary and he diagnosed you and then said, go see this specialist. Mm-hmm. And then, on and on down the line it went. Well, with patient-centered care teams and mm-hmm. ACOs, it's a group, a caregiver group that works with you in concert. They actually have to talk to each other. They have to collaborate. And so I saw a number of solutions on the floor that were focused on collaboration and how to enable that. And I'll give you one example, not a specific company, but I saw a lot of use of video in both the acute care settings and the distributed, remote patient monitoring solutions. They wanted video because they want to collaborate either between the physicians.
Very good point.
Or they want to collaborate with their patients. They want to have a patient encounter, and we all know there's not enough doctors and specialists to go around, and access to care can be difficult. So if I can do this remotely and I use a video-enabled solution, I can still get the care, but I don't have to drive 300 miles
to
do
it. So
true. So I thought that
you might get more premium care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You get more frequent and better care.
Yeah.
So the collaboration piece, I think, is very interesting. I think we're going to see a lot more of that.
I think that's fantastic. Juan, anything you want to add there, my friend?
Yeah, Justin, I think I saw a couple of things that were very interesting. One was, many smaller companies dedicated into finding really good products that were IoT products. So making things that usually were just
IoT, being Internet of Things,
and make them become Internet of Things. Make those stethoscopes become intelligent. Make thermometer become intelligent. That was amazing because these were small companies with great product and really good quality in the design factor of those products. So that's one. Yeah. The other thing that I really liked, to the point of education and video usage, was the use of 3D videos to share and to educate. That was fantastic because that's something that we are seeing in the industry and many other industries. But seeing it applied to healthcare was incredible. Being able to see a full operation in 3D is incredible. If you're not a doctor, that's pretty cool.
That's fantastic. So we are going to move into our lightning round. We've got about 5 minutes or 4.5 minutes to close out the show. I do want to get through a couple more questions. So real quickly, put your crystal ball hats on. What are you, specifically in the world of mobile health, what do you think over the next 2 years that we might see in the way of a breakthrough? So I'll start off with you, Gareth.
I'm going to say this is the same. This is going to follow the same things we saw a few years ago with mobile tablets and consumer tablets. I think VR and AR, so virtual reality and augmented reality, next year will be absolutely everywhere. It doesn't matter whether you make toilets in healthcare. Whatever you do, you will have a VR, AR experience next year. And then I think a couple of years later, we as an industry and healthcare as an industry will work out which bits are actually relevant and useful, and then we'll have some real stories. Very much like the kind of tablet thing that happened a few years ago, we're now getting to the point where it actually works and it's useful. I think VR and AR everywhere.
Okay.
And then there'll be a hangover.
Wow. That's I like it. That's bold, Ben. That's tough to follow up, my friend.
That is. And that was my answer.
But he stole your notes.
I'll cover them
that's
up
right.
Next,
need to next time.
But just a little bit to add to that, I think there's going to be a gaming element of this.
I've already seen it. I agree.
That is going to be part of mobile and how we navigate healthcare and how you have a virtual world where you go to your pharmacist, you go to your doctor, because most of the things you don't actually have to be there to get that information. So I think there'll be sort of just like my son's Harry Potter game where he goes through this whole world. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a healthcare world in the same way.
Fantastic. Bob, what are your thoughts there?
Well, I think what we're going to see over the next couple of years is Juan's mentioned it, Gareth has mentioned it, this IoT concept. I think what we're going to see is an explosion of data. Mm-hmm. And not just the data, but the ability to analyze and do something meaningful with that data. I think we're going to see people figure out how to deploy these large distributed compute frameworks and do analytics on this large set of data. I think we'll see a lot more data sharing. We certainly see it in the genomic sequence space. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to see improvements, dramatic improvements in the quality of care, because we have all that data and we can actually personalize your protocol of care. I think we're going to see that in the next couple of years.
That's fantastic, Bob. Great answers, everybody. Juan, pressure's on you, my friend.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I hope I will be able to see and one thing that I agree with all of you that we're going to see. So one thing that we are going to see is genomics. So definitely genomics is going to become part or integral part of everyone's healthcare treatment. So we will get to that personalized medicine that we all hope for, right? So it is medicine tailored for your specific needs and pains, right? So that's fantastic. From, a provider perspective, it's fantastic. From a patient perspective, it's wonderful. There's so many, illnesses today and that we don't cover. We don't have an answer for. So why not, right? Why not personalize it? So I think that's something that's going to happen. And something that I definitely need to happen, and we're all collaborating to make it happen, is that it's going to be a secure environment, right? So that you as a patient know that your information is your information and it's not going to be shared through the internet openly with anyone else. And you as a clinician know that the information that you have access to is the right information for the right patient, for the right case study, right? So that you can understand better how to provide care and provide better outcomes.
That's fantastic. So moving right along, a couple of seconds here. Fun times. Tell me about any good parties. I'll start off with you, Ben. You know of any good parties from the last HIM 16 that we need to know about?
Sure. I went to the Improvada party at the Paris Hotel.
Oh.
And it's up on the second floor there, the open air, and you know, free drinks, free food, good friends. You can't complain.
No. Very cool. Bob?
Well, I have to mention the Intel and Dell sponsored event, which was hugely successful and very well attended.
I heard you had a boot out, what, 500 people?
I'm not saying anything.
It was overly successful. That's fantastic.
It was very successful. There was an interesting reception I went to with OneView that does patient engagement.
Sure.
They were pouring Guinness, and they had the Irish dancers and music.
Perfect.
So it doesn't get much better than that.
They were founded in Ireland, right?
Yes.
Juan?
I would have to agree with the Dell.
The Dell Intel party?
It was really a fantastic opportunity to meet with, you know, some of our customers and with our partners as well. So, you know, we look forward to that same success for next year.
Absolutely.
Gareth, closing thoughts there on any good parties?
I can. I'll try and connect this back to my opening statements. So every year we do this. We do a charity event at HIMSS. So for one night of the event, every employee, every customer, every partner has to pay an amount of donation to charity. This year we were supporting Operation Smile, which we've done some really cool stuff
excellent,
with.
Excellent, yeah.
And it was in the Bodies Exhibition. I've been told I have to pronounce that carefully. and it was just brilliant. It was a really cool experience. And again, it gets us back to the reason people
we're
are there is because they care about this stuff. Right. And Operation Smile were there, telling us the stories about how technology helped them treat more cleft palates than they could without technology.
God bless.
Brilliant. Nice. Let's do more of that.
Fantastic. I completely agree. Well, Ben, Gareth, Juan, Bob, it's great to have you guys in studio today, not just on air, but in studio here in Atlanta. And I truly appreciate you guys taking the time out of your busy schedules to not only join us, but to fly here and be here in person. So thank you for that.
Thanks for having
us.
Love your show.
You got it. Thank you, guys. And thank you, everyone, for listening and joining us today. Please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and check out all my updated content at justinbarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week.